you're hearing this, it means one of us is dead.
Wow.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to this bonus episode of Behind the Sins.
Wait, you're just going to start it?
A podcast from the B team of CinemaSins. B team meaning that we are less than the A team. Is that how it works?
I don't know. Maybe that's one of the questions we were going to talk about on our bonus podcast that you have decided to start for us.
Yeah, that actually is a question that kind of came up. Not necessarily our worth and value, but we'll get into that. We're doing a bonus episode today, and I'm in charge. Ooh, but I've got my volume on my computer on.
This is my favorite thing. I thought you were just going to be in charge of like asking the questions and emceeing and stuff, mm-hmm. but you're just like, no, this is my podcast.
It's my podcast.
I'm doing the intro.
That's right.
It's all about me. I love it. Let's go.
I'm joined as always. Oh, by the way, I'm Danae. I'm joined as always by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello, hello.
And Darren Hughes.
Heidely ho, Cinerinos.
How did I do?
It was pretty great. You may have messed up my last name, but no, you did good.
Everybody knows who you are.
I mean, it sounded to me exactly like the intro. I don't think you missed a single word.
Yeah,
not a beat. Just,
yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Recently, we went to Twitter, and by we, I mean the CinemaSins account, our main Twitter account, and we asked the audience at large if you had a question for the team in general, what it would be. And so today on this special episode of Behind the Sins, we're actually going to be answering questions and answering them from, not asking questions, we're going to be answering questions that you guys asked from the whole team's perspective. So
and we use them, right? Because they're the A team and we wouldn't have gotten as many questions if we'd used our accounts.
No, we are.
we're like, Jeremy, tweet this out now.
Yeah, please. Please. Would someone please give us attention?
I don't remember you saying please. I think it was just.
Yeah, no, I don't either. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of asking
Jeremy,
involved.
Jeremy, please. I need you to do this.
It was like, Jeremy, here's what you're doing. Because. We were going to do a Q&A. Now, we haven't mentioned.
And they were all pretty nice.
Maybe, yeah, they were.
Maybe there were a couple that weren't. But
we haven't mentioned that we're in the same room.
Oh, yes, that's right.
We're all hanging out together.
Yeah.
That's always fun when we get to do this.
Yes. Being vaccinated has its perks.
Yeah.
And one of them is the comfort of being in the same space together. And you guys know we are spread out, but most of the team is in the Nashville area.
Yes.
And then Aaron and I are in the Southwest Missouri area. So we try to drive out every few months to stay connected. And we didn't do that for a year. So it's kind of weird to get back into the rhythm of seeing each other.
Yeah.
So we're all in the same space together.
Yeah.
I can see smell you and everything.
Beautiful faces.
Oh, God. I'm glad I showered.
I didn't. Can you smell me?
No.
Oh, okay.
I can't really smell.
So. Oh, okay, okay.
Me either.
No. Oh, that's, yeah,
that's
okay,
the only one with a sense of smell in the room.
By the way, that's not a COVID thing. That's a allergies.
good clarification. Yeah, yeah. Good clarification. I haven't had a sense of smell in 15 years. So
when I had to go to the doctor the other day, this guy walked in and she was asking what was wrong with him. And he's like, I can't smell. And I was like, oh, so that guy's got COVID probably. And then he just comes and sits down by me. I'm like, oh, great. But I was negative, so we're good.
Good. That's
yes,
good. That's good to
I'm
know.
I'm glad. We're going to jump right in and just go through several questions.
One more thing. I feel like we also have to say, especially because we're talking about COVID and that kind
so
of stuff.
So hard for you to just let me be in
control. No. I think this is, I'm just trying to keep the listener in mind because you may be hearing this 2 years from now. I have no idea when you're hearing
that's
this.
True.
Like, you know, we may mention things that are in the moment now, which is.
Today's date is the 31st of August, 2021.
Right.
These people aren't going to remember they asked questions. They're going to be like.
But we're kind of putting this in because we have had times where. You know, one of us will get sick or we'll need to take a break or do a vacation or whatever we need to do. And it'd be nice to have one in the can.
In the hapa.
So, yeah, if you're hearing this, it means one of us is dead.
Wow.
That's what it means. Wow. So apologies. I hope you're mourning well. I hope you're mourning well.
I just have this idea that like everyone's like, God, I hope it's not. And then
it was like all of a sudden they had the priority of
like
who
they rank.
It was like hearing Chadwick Boseman's voice on that What If episode.
That'd be
the same thing.
Yeah,
that, I mean, we're not Chadwick Boseman. That was
very recent in our world.
Yes,
that episode.
Yes. might be 3 years ago now.
You're now into the seventh season of What If.
Oh my God, I hope not.
What?
I feel like we're not going to be able to not talk about like our work.
Oh, of course.
You know, we're not going to be able to. And I'm going to bring this up in the show proper. And so if this is something that airs like 2 years on the line, I'm happy to remind everyone I actually like the animation of What If. I just want to say it here and now in this moment with you.
Yeah, there's a lot of animation. I never complain about animation, though. Like, animation is just whatever style that person chooses. I don't know that I ever just, like, I don't know. I don't know what would be, like, really terrible animation.
Speaking of animation, that was actually one of the things that was brought up outside of Twitter was if you guys could do an animated series for your job, what would it look like? And I love this idea. I didn't give you guys a heads up that we were going to have this on the list because that's me. That's my
style. That's all right. I'm playing the Danae role today. I didn't prep a single bit for any of this.
Isn't it lovely?
It's lovely. I'm just ready to answer stuff.
So if there was an animated series about us?
About CinemaSins, something to do with our brand, what would it look like? And Aaron and I have talked about this on several occasions, but I think it would be really funny to take clips from our podcast, like little things that happen. Oh. For example, the time that you walked away from the microphone, Jonathan, and it was the cleaning person in the background, and it just sounded like you were being murdered by a vacuum cleaner, and Aaron and I are playing that up. Like, that would be a really funny little animation moment that's not necessarily, like, if somebody watched it, they wouldn't say, oh, this is clearly branded for CinemaSins, and this makes sense for the brand. It's more like the people behind the scenes stuff. I just think that would be really, really fun.
I think somebody's done that for some of the Syncast audio. I think somebody has done a little bit of that, if I remember correctly. But that is a fun thing. I do like it when, like, fans of podcasts, like, the no animation will animate a clip, and that vacuum one is
I think
is
it would just be Big Bang Theory. That'd be I'm kidding. I don't know. It'd be like, it might be like a Kevin Smith movie or something, though, if we're all just sitting around talking about movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. We did look into hiring an animator my first 6 months on the team. I was just kind of looking around just to see what the cost would be and also what it like what the plan would be. So to work alongside a couple of artists to bring to life some fun things that we think our fans would really enjoy. So not our YouTube channel, not like a How It Should Have Ended thing at all. So not like nothing that would go out on the main channel. It would literally be just for the fans from like almost more of a podcast perspective. And animation takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of focus, and it would literally be, you know, hiring someone onto our team that would be what we would pay them to do.
Right.
So it would be awesome if we got to the point where we were creating like entertainment content for you guys that comes from our podcasting world, but that's probably not going to happen in forever.
Yeah, because I mean, it might be a quicker turnaround now, but I feel like aren't most animated shows like The Simpsons and stuff, aren't they working like on like a season and a half ahead or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're way out.
And then, like, animated movies are, you know, 2 years in advance or mm-hmm. whatever. That's when they start working on them. So
animation takes a while.
I
want to know
what you're thinking. I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
All right, let's jump into some of the actual tweets. This one comes from Caesar, who asks, what does the B in B Team stand for? And then with a little addition of, have fun with this one.
So, have fun with it.
This is where it's like, oh, the real answer is kind of probably boring then.
Yeah, like, boring, boring works. The boring team. The boring team. Yeah, that works really well.
I didn't even think
Moving
about
on.
It. Great question.
I mean, the B doesn't really stand for anything, right? So,
well, Aaron is the one that came up with it. I suppose we should start there. And it was just more of an idea when this podcast started as a way to kind of, you know, Aaron and Jonathan were hired at the same time. Mm-hmm. And then I came on about a year later.
We were conjoined
later.
Twins. They had to...
Literally born birthday. On the same day.
So
we're a year apart, though.
A like, year apart,
our poor mother had to wait a whole year for me to come out.
Yeah. I was just hanging out on the outside for a year. Just waiting for my buddy.
But I think it was originally... Aaron, you can speak to this. Just a way to talk about the new hires versus the quote-unquote original team. Which I guess the original team is Aaron and... Jeremy and Chris, and then they hired on their friend Buddy Barrett, and that's who we refer to as
their friend Buddy Barrett.
Yeah, Barrett's first. Yeah. Barrett has another first name. It's Buddy.
You didn't know this, but yes, it's actually Buddy Barrett.
And he looks like an elf if you've never seen him. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so there's psychologically fun things with labeling yourself as like the also ran, you know, like if there's a self-deprecation to it, that's really fun. It also allows for people to kind of glom onto, like, we know we're the next crew. You know, we know Sincast is the big daddy, and we're, you know, doing our best and doing our thing. And so, yeah, B-Team was that. It also worked out nicely because we named the podcast Behind the Sins. And so it's like the Behind the Sins team, the B-Team, you know, so it kind of worked out nicely.
Yeah, and it was funny because I remember, I think it was Jeremy that had a hard time calling us that because he felt bad.
Yeah.
And Barrett and Chris, of course, just laid right into it. But I was like, no, like, it's cool. Like, we've kind of accepted it. So.
No, it's a nice little, I think it's a nice little term of endearment. I think, you know, it's
nice having a name.
It's an identity, right? Like, it's a kind of a cool thing to grab onto.
I looked up words it could mean, though.
Okay.
Oh, good. Nice.
I went to babblative, which is you're prone to babbling or chatter.
That works.
Backspang, which is a sudden jolt or kick, which is how I described Danae. Baffle gab, which is jargon filled talk that sets out to clarify something but only ends up confusing things. Which I feel like that's us every week.
Oh my God. Those are great words.
I love that one. That may be the go to.
What is it?
Baffle gab or something?
Baffle gab.
Yeah, baffle gab.
And then my last one I found, which is just dumb, but it's butyraceous or buttyraceous. It's something that tastes or looks buttery, which is all three of us. So
butyraceous.
But no, yeah, the baffle gab. When I saw that, I was like, I found some site. It was like 40 like awesome words that start with B or something.
Well, I think that's the official answer now. The B stands for baffle gab.
Baffle gab team.
Because we do often start explaining something and then we confuse ourselves.
Totally.
Yeah, that has been an interesting part of the evolution of the show. We've continued to sort of, well, our rhythm started pretty quickly with the setup of like how we format the podcast, and we've pretty much stayed consistent to that. But we do have a way of
just complicating. We're baffle gabbers.
We're baffle gabbers. I love it. This one's from Nick. Who on Twitter who asks, if the A team run the Sincast and the B team run the BTS cast, are Daniel and Ian the C team, and when will they get their podcast? Or when will their podcast be airing? This question's come up a couple of times with, well, now you have two new writers, so are you adding another team? And there's other questions about the hierarchy of this, so we'll kind of get to more of those here in a minute. I think we'll just focus for now on, will Daniel and Ian be getting their own podcast?
I mean, who knows? I mean, if Daniel and Ian want their own podcast, like, you know, that's the thing. There's not, I think there's a level of expectation a lot of times with this stuff that, you know, they sat down for months and then they strategize and they plan. And a lot of times it's just like somebody has an idea. Somebody has a seed.
Yeah, this was quick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was real quick. Like, I was just like, this would be really fun. I think the fans would enjoy it. Why don't you two hop on? Danae wasn't even really working for CinemaSins hardly yet. And so, yeah, and, you know, it happened. So, of course, that can happen, but there's, you know, it's not like something you don't ever want to force it, right? Like, that's the thing with creative work. If you do stuff because strategically it makes sense, that's fine, but it can feel forced and it can feel a little less passionate about it. But, you know, yeah, if somebody has an idea, I'm sure, you know, that's a possibility.
We do have an internal sort of checks and balances system when it comes to podcasting. So if they came to the table with a podcast and it sucked, we would say no. I just want to clarify that.
Thank you, Danae.
We're going to talk about paint.
Like,
we're gonna pick a color every week. It's gonna be
for
gonna
our
be
last
painting
segment,
with Dan and Ian.
For our last segment, our last 10 minutes, we're not gonna say anything. We're just gonna watch the paint dry.
Yeah.
For the last 10 minutes of the podcast, just silence as we all watch the paint
Ian's
dry.
Ian's like, so I'm gonna put some periwinkle on this wall, Daniel. What do you think?
Oh my God!
It's becoming a little more blue as it dries.
Oh,
that's,
my God!
Now people are
going
to
so
want that
stressed
to happen.
Yeah. At least one episode, like a mock episode of this podcast, or Daniel and Ian just put it together as a joke and don't tell the A team, and they just listen to this like test pod. Like, what are these two doing?
Yeah, I do think it's a bit unfortunate. Maybe not unfortunate. It doesn't really matter. But that, like, there's an expectation that they will be the C team or whatever that is.
We'll
like,
get to that.
Know,
we'll
yeah.
get to that.
So
yeah, there's more questions about that coming up. This one is from Polly, who says, "As the B team, do you ever wish that the teams would swap formats for a week, where we get a Sincast, but it's the BTS format, the BTS podcast with the Sincast format.
Absolutely, 100%. That's a blast. That would be a blast. That would be so much fun.
He goes on to say it would be fun to see the B team do rants, do a rant segment, and the A team reading notes about writing sins. Jeremy also loved this idea. And I think also Barrett said this would be fun as hell. We'd have to come up with a sort of standard format for us to do, for the B team to do a Sincast episode, like either a basic episode with rants and such, or maybe a Guess the Goofs episode. But yeah, I can see maybe where we set up.
Because we already kind of do recommends and recawarns, because we do beyond the sins.
Yeah, a little. We do a little
bit
of that.
Which is my favorite segment.
We do end up ranting every now and then too, but we would actually come up with specific rants, and
yeah we can figure it out. I would be very aware of trying not to do an imitation maybe that would be funny. Maybe it'd be funny to be like, you know, grab some of their
and I've like guessed it or filled in for Jeremy a couple times where I've done those kind of episodes. So I mean, it would definitely be different. So that'd be fun.
Who would you imitate, Jonathan?
I don't know that I'd imitate. I don't know.
I mean, right now you're in Jeremy's chair, so
yeah. I don't think I could do a good Jeremy. I could probably do a good Barrett. I would just have to, you know, make weird sexual comments and then be like, oh man.
There you go. Yeah.
You just got to go, why does it have to be another sequel? That's my Jeremy. That's my...
Oh, okay. So that means I'm Chris.
Oh, yeah.
That automatically makes me Chris.
Yeah.
No fucking pressure.
I can't. I just want to know what Janae's rants are going to be. She's going to be like, I'm going to talk about milk.
Man,
milk
there
is hard on
Aaron has heard me rant before. If I get passionate about something I don't like, I can go off.
Yeah, yeah. It's no, this just, is fun. I like, this has to happen. We'll have to make this happen. This will be fun.
It would be kind of be interesting to do around April Fools or something, where we just kind of switch episodes.
Don't even tell anybody. Just be like,
yeah,
that is fun.
Well, April Fools would be a good time to release the Ian and Daniel painting. even if we just do like a small segment with them, that'll be like the start of we'll have it at the beginning, and then and then we'll go into BTS. Like they'll be like gotcha.
House of Paint.
Yeah.
I also think it would be really fun for us to be strategic and drop in a mini BTS episode in the Sincast feed and vice versa.
Yeah, yeah. There's promotional opportunity there for sure.
Just like kind of come up with like a little, a short bite size of what we do.
So that is the other question though. When we do Flip Flop, if we make this happen, which I would love to, does our version of the Sincast go in the Sincast feed?
I think so, right?
And their version of Behind the Sins goes in the Behind the Sins feed? I think that's right, because that's the format of the show, right? So like the format of the show should go in its appropriate feed.
You watched CSI, didn't you?
Yes, for a long time. I gave up on the last couple of seasons.
This would have been before that, because I can't remember if Grissom was still on there or not. But do you remember that week Chuck Lorre was doing 2.5 Men at the time. His team did a CSI episode, and the CSI team did a 2.5 Men episode. The CSI episode was Katie Sagal was the person who got murdered. She was a stand-up comic or something. Do you remember this?
I don't remember it, but that doesn't mean I didn't see it.
But when they say that, that's kind of what that made me think of. Yeah. It was like, you know, just fun stuff like that. So I think that would be a lot of fun.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. This one's from Brady, who has a question about, I guess, the definition of fast food.
Okay.
Is Starbucks fast food?
I'm glad you asked.
No.
I'm glad you asked.
You don't think Starbucks is fast food? I do, for sure.
Yeah, they are now. I don't think they started out as fast food. I think they started out as a coffee shop.
Well, they do have like sandwiches and stuff.
Yeah, they got breakfast sandwiches.
They've got
a drive-through.
By the way, I don't want Starbucks to not advertise for us at some point.
Well, they listen to our show.
They're at the door right now. They were knocking.
No, I was one morning, I was picking up, my daughter wanted like a cake pop or something, and so I was like, I'll just get a sausage biscuit. It was something I ate.
It's not great fast food. I don't enjoy their food.
I guess it is fast food, yeah.
The follow-up question to that then is, does that make Pete's fast food? Now, I don't know what Pete's is.
I don't know what Pete's is at all.
I have no idea what
that
is.
So then we can't answer that, Brady. I apologize.
Pete's Dragon? Definitely not fast food.
Does this also mean McDonald's is a coffee shop?
No. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't work that way.
McDonald's sells coffee.
Correct.
But they're not able
Starbucks
to make.
Starbucks went from a coffee shop to being fast food. If McDonald's were to go from fast food to being a coffee shop, they'd have to just drop everything else and just be a coffee shop.
They do have like frappes and stuff. But I think the point is that they have McDonald's has fast food, and a variety of coffee beverages now.
And they don't really have latte,
I think.
I don't think they're leaning into it as much as they used to. I know at one point they actually were trying to compete with Starbucks. Like, they were like, we have a better coffee than Starbucks. You know, you need to come to us. But I don't know that they're leaning in. And plus, half the time, like, I don't know how often you guys go to McDonald's, but I have a very rare kid. Yeah. But their shit's down. I'm sorry. Their stuff's down all
the
time.
Wait, why are you apologizing? Yeah,
I don't know. I just...
We need to have a... next question for you, Jonathan. Do we cuss on this podcast?
Yeah, that's true. But anyways, there are ice cream machines and everything's down like constantly.
Yeah, they're so not...
There are like articles on how their ice cream machines are terrible. Yeah.
And they've slimmed their menu down so much, you know, so I don't think they're even trying anymore.
I think you have to ask the question if you had to take out a lot of the bells and whistles of what a company did and return it to its roots, what would it be? And Starbucks would be a coffee shop and McDonald's would be fast food. And that's
there's
kind
two
of
words
definition.
In fast food. If they sell food and they try to do it quickly, I think that's fast food. If they have a drive through, that's pretty much my only requirement being fast food.
Here's a good question from Tom on Twitter, who asks, for Jonathan and Aaron, here's the question. What qualities does a movie need to become an all-time favorite?
Ooh. I have no idea. I tried to think about this. I mean, there are
personally, right? It's a personal question.
Personal question.
Like,
yeah.
I guess, you know, if you know my wheelhouse, like if it's a good murder mystery, like that's probably going to set it a little higher for me than like say a really good romantic comedy, or something. But I think it. I don't know. I love so many different types of movies. So I think it's probably. I'm a big structure guy. That's one thing, which is why I've said in the past I have a problem with Christopher Nolan sometimes because I don't think he cares that much about the structures of his films, at least some of them.
Yeah.
Tenet's probably is an example of where he does. But so I really like structure. So when you get like that perfectly like just structured film, I think that's when you get, for me, you get like Witness to the Prosecution, you get Jaws, you get Singing in the Rain, Pulp Fiction, you know, so Jackie Brown, whatever. So I think that is for whatever reason, that's a big thing with me. But I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, aesthetic, just the atmosphere it creates. That's the main reason I like horror films, because I just love the atmosphere of like Halloween and like, you know, dark places and houses, you know, creepy houses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of, I guess those are things that set it a little higher for me.
My go-to answer is like, I have certain things, certain parts of me that movies have to activate, right? Like,
so you like porn.
So porn is basically what I'm talking about. No, but it does kind of sound a little sensual. Like, these are basically my movie erogenous zones, right? Like,
yeah. No, I know. Right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, for me, like, if it's like if it's set, like, if the movie does, I mean, it might not be a good movie, but like, it automatically gets points for me. If it's set like around Halloween or around fall,
right?
That automatically, like, I'm more interested in what's going on.
Yeah, totally.
Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be a good movie, but at least I'm more tuned in.
So if I'm going to call something an all-time favorite, it has to activate all three of my movie erogenous zones. My mind, my heart, and my gut. And it either has to do one of those really well and the other two okay, or all of them pretty good, or like if it's going to be a favorite. And so like it has to give me something to think about, it has to give me something to feel, and it has to give me something to react to. You know, the gut thing is a little more nebulous, but it's kind of like...
I was going to say, the gut thing could be bad. It could make you sick. Or...
Well, sure. Yeah, but what I mean in that case is like...
I know you're saying.
Like eye candy is a gut thing, right? Like a movie that's like really big and bombastic, that's a gut thing. A movie that's sensual, that's a gut thing. You know, something that makes me react.
No, that's a better answer.
So if it touches on all three of those zones, it's got a good chance with me, especially if it's real, you know, a real, like I think of The Prestige, right? Just a real
that's another great
thinker
example.
Movie. It's also got a real emotional, you know, heart to it. That's why it's my favorite of Nolan, you know.
Yeah, that structure. Okay, forget what I said about Nolan. I was just thinking about The Dark Knight specifically.
Yeah.
That's my problem with The Dark Knight, is the structure of The Dark Knight is so crazy.
Yeah.
And it just really bothers me. And like, so I have a, but it, so yeah. But anyways, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. So yeah, if you look through my list of favorite movies, you'll see a lot of movies that, you know,
yeah,
activate
yeah.
that kind of stuff.
That makes sense.
You know, my favorite movie of all time is actually Light on the Head part. I mean, there's a little thinking to it, but it's mostly heart and gut. Mostly gut. Singing in the Rain is just one of those movies that just makes me feel stuff all the way through. And I just joy and exuberance. And so, yeah.
I think Singing in the Rain also, think about that specifically, is it does such a, like, movies about movies a lot of the times are not very good, because I think that it's so, like, it's so ridiculous what they're, like, it's amazing, like, when you look at movies within movies, they're always just so ridiculous. Like, you're like, that would never be a movie. And unless it's just full on parody or something, like UHF, I guess it's fine, but like Singing in the Rain just, I don't know, it just like it gets movies more than I think most movies like that do.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really get talked about in that venue. Most people talk about it as a musical. Usually when you see like ranks of like movies about movies, I don't feel like Singing in the Rain's always up there, but it should be.
It should be. I love that our fans know us well enough to ask Jonathan and I that question and not you.
Well, Tom continues and says, for Danae.
Hey, you get your own question.
I know. Thank you, Tom. Before CinemaSins and becoming a parent, what things made you want to actually see a movie?
Oh, okay.
Which, what a thoughtful question.
Yeah.
So this one's, it was interesting for me to think about this. I don't know that I've ever been the kind of person that's wanted to go to the movie theater. I think the only time that happened to me was Lord of the Rings. And
I think
so,
a little bit Star Wars. I was around you when, like,
I was excited to go see Force how Awakens that one continued. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. But here's the interesting qualifier. I didn't want to see the first ones.
Right.
It was on both of those occasions, Star Wars and Lord of the Rings, I was excited to see the second and the third one, because I saw the quality and I saw what they were doing, and I was curious to see the artistic expression of the story.
You had read Lord of the Rings, though,
but
right?
I had read Lord of the Rings, but yeah. I did not want to go see. I wanted to go see it really, really, really bad, but I was also really afraid to see it because I loved the material so much. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to interact. So
yeah, you, because I mean, as a reader myself, I don't get as bothered by people changing stuff, but I know just from talking to you, that is something that kind of sticks.
I was very
with
worried, but I was seeing the images that were coming out. I was seeing the like the promotional material, and I was seeing how beautiful it looked, and I wanted to be in that world. So I think for me, I would have to say, if I see a world I want to explore, I will go in. Like Dune, for example, is one that I kind of want to go see what the world is.
Sure. Yeah, don't watch the 84 one, though.
More than I am like, I want to go see this movie. It's more, right. It's more, what are they doing? Or when we did Alita Battle Angel, I was like, oh, what is this world that they're building? And I think that comes from my imaginative...
What's he building in there?
Man, I hope they make more Alita Battle Angels.
I do, too. I think that comes from just my imaginative sort of space. But... to be honest with you, I forget my experiences with movies a lot, so this is not surprising, but I can't remember a time when I was like, let's go see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not built that way.
Yep.
But I appreciate that you asked me that question. This one comes from Matt, who asks, this is going to be an interesting one. Who are the saltiest, thirstiest, and most profane writers on the Sins team?
I'll say I think we're all have our moments.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
But like, I guess the one that surprises me the most is when it's Aaron.
Yeah.
And the one that surprises me the least is Barrett. So
yeah, that's a really good way to answer
what were
that.
The three adjectives?
And I don't know, like Ian and Daniel,
have to get to know them
a
little bit better.
Yeah, I haven't really, like, I've done a couple things with Ian, but I haven't done anything with Daniel, so I haven't really gotten, like, what
yeah.
there is.
Saltiest?
Horniest?
Horniest.
No, wait, no. Wait.
Oh, that's right, there was multiple things.
Chris replies with this
and
says, Barrett clearly writes the horniest and profane.
Okay.
And Jeremy clearly writes the saltiest. But Matt asks, salty, thirsty, and profane. So thirsty, I guess, would be the horniest.
What is salty, though?
I guess.
I think that's a quick to anger kind of thing. Like, when you're salty, you're like angry.
Yeah, I would say that's more Danae. It would be Jeremy or Danae.
I've gotten better at it.
I mean, you are definitely the least salty.
Yeah, Aaron's the least salty.
Yeah. But I may be close to the most thirsty, if I'm understanding that word correctly.
Like, that's the horny one.
I think about sex a lot. Especially in my writing, I definitely go towards like the perverted jokes more.
But you think about sex in more of a like a curiosity way.
Yes,
we don't need to get more detailed.
Too open into my sex life.
But I don't think of that as. I guess I don't think of that as thirsty. But maybe that is because thirst for knowledge. So
for sexual knowledge,
but it does. I mean, everybody definitely writes some stuff. I mean, even Jeremy. I mean, I've worked on Jeremy with scripts where I'll be like, damn, where did that come from? You know, it'll be like,
yeah. I wrote one recently that includes a masturbatory sock. And Jonathan's response was, ha ha, ew. So we all have our moments, but I think the one that I would say who the most profane is, I think it would be between Barrett and Jonathan, or Jeremy.
That's what I was going to say. Barrett and Jeremy both get pretty profane.
I might write more curse words.
I write curse words too.
Yeah, and you write a lot too. But I don't know if that's necessarily the same as profane.
Yeah.
The word I use for Barrett especially is transgressive. Like, he really enjoys like figuring out where the line is and going across it. Like, there's a real, which is, it can be a, you know, really funny and fun thing, and you know, in that context,
I've definitely gone across the line a few times, but then I'll just leave it in. So you know, be like, just look at this crazy bullshit I wrote. I know we're not keeping this, but just look at it.
But that's an interesting question, because we're all trying to capture our version of the narrator.
Correct. That's
who
the important
is
thing to remember.
The salty, profane, right. You know, guy.
Right.
So we all have that voice, and maybe it shifts a little bit for each channel. You know, commercial sins is an interesting one, you know, but you know, we're still all trying to find that narrator voice. So yeah.
But I've gotten to where I do go back and look at when I'm re-looking at my script, I make sure, like, I make sure I don't have, like, I don't know, like, sometimes I just feel like fuck is so easy. So sometimes I try to think of something else.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And I'll go back and change a lot of those out, because I'll just put them in real quick and then I'll go back and
change them. I haven't written a good insult sin in a while. And I remember I just had this memory of my first few months full time on the team, thinking I need to get better at this. And so I actually looked up this, like, really, you know, 10 amazing insults that'll leave your opponent in tears or something. And I was like,
it's your insult match.
Here's a hard shift away from that topic, from Sean on Twitter, who asks, what's your favorite cheese?
Provolone. That makes so much sense for me. But,
bland cheese. Yep. Just a bland
provolone
cheese.
Provolone is actually my least favorite, is what I'm
sure it's lots of people's. I love the way it melts and just how mild it is.
I will say, like, I don't go out of my way to try, like, I mean, I'm sure I've had, like, Munster and stuff, but I don't know. As
Munster's
far as
good.
The cheese I've actually had, provolone just is a little too sharp for me most of the time, so I tend to stay away from it.
I love sharp cheddar.
Sharp cheddar's fine.
But there was actually a cheese, I'm trying to remember the name of it, but my friend came back from Italy and she brought back a specialty cheese, and I don't know what it was. It was white, slightly crumbly, and it had fruit in it. Like just veins of really powerful pops of, I think it was blueberry, and it was the most incredible cheese.
That's amazing.
I had way too much of it, and I suffered greatly, but it was delicious.
I want to change my answer. Okay. I just remembered there's this amazing cheese spread called Windschuler's Barschlees. And it comes in a little tub.
That sounds like you'd get it with one of those, like, baskets. Like,
there was a bar called Windschuler's in Detroit, I think, and they were well known for their cheese spread, and so they started to package it. It is the most incredible thing I've ever put on a cracker.
I wrote down pepper jack, but I will say
I love pepper jack.
My
too.
Full on favorite cheese though is that white cheese you get at Mexican restaurants.
Queso.
But
they do it like the, you know, it's like string cheese or whatever, you know, shredded. Yeah. And that is queso, I guess. That queso is amazing.
Chris responds with smoked gouda. It's fucking fantastic. Jeremy says his favorite cheese is extra sharp cheddar. The sharper the better. Barrett says blue cheese. Now, Sean had other elements of this. Overrated cheese. What's the most overrated cheese? I'm going to say Cheese Whiz. That is so...
I'm actually... Sorry, cheddar would be mine.
It's okay. Do you have an overrated cheese, Aaron?
No.
Jeremy answers this one by saying pimento or Munster. And Barrett says brie. Fight me.
I don't really like brie.
Sean continues, what's the most hate? Your most hated cheese? Jeremy answers this by saying... Colby Jack, which is the vanilla bland ass motherfucker from Yuppieville.
Colby, like, I don't have a problem with Colby Jack, but it's not one I go for. My wife loves Colby Jack, so we do have it and stuff, but
it's like the marbled version of provolone and cheddar.
Swiss is also overrated in my opinion. Swiss to me is really bland.
I hate Swiss cheese.
It just doesn't taste like anything to me. So
Sean then responds to his own tweet with an additional question that no one has answered. If it pops into your head, feel free. But the best use of cheese in a movie.
Oh no.
I
knew this. It's for me, it's The Mask. I mean, that was immediately what I thought of when he did that. There is a scene in The Mask where Jim Carrey is in jail. And his dog is there, and he's trying to get his dog to get the keys. Do you remember this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's a piece of cheese on the desk by the guard, like a sandwich or something, and the dog picks up the cheese, and then Jim Carrey just goes, "Not the keys, the cheese." And I don't know why, but that has always just killed me. It's like such a sweet moment, and it's funny. Aww. And
that is great. I have to go with Wallace and Gromit in all the various instances of their love of cheese.
Because I'm thinking of the song, "There are no cats in America and the streets are paved with
that's
cheese."
A good one. That's
I'm
going to
go with American Tail on that one.
God, I haven't seen that since I was a kid.
This one's from Pete, who says, "What distraction pulls you out of sin watching something?" And while you guys think of your answer to this one, Chris says, "A fascinating plot issue." Is his answer to this question. Chris continues by saying, "I stopped watching Endgame for sin's purposes and just watched straight to the end without sinning because of the time travel stuff. And I wanted to know it backwards and forwards before I started sinning it again." So that's what pulls Chris out of a sin-watching experience. I will actually follow up with that and say I'm often pulled out of a sin brain during my first watch because there does come a moment when you're not, at least for me, I'm not able to sin it like I can because the story is trying to resolve itself and kind of come to this moment. And you don't even know what you could sin because you don't know what the movie is doing yet. And so every single time I watch a movie, they're just right in that transition to like the third act. I usually have to just completely watch it and my brain just turns off. I can't sin. Like maybe I'll see something like that I think, oh, maybe I can sin this. So for example, I'll be kind of writing down notes like she's wearing high heels outside.
Yeah.
And I'll make like a quick little bullet point list, but I really can't develop the flavor of an actual sin because the movie is trying to do something. And until I know what it's doing, it's difficult to kind of find my pacing.
I don't force myself to do that. Yeah, I definitely don't force myself to write sins anymore the first time through. Even if I've seen the movie, I'll usually just watch it. If something comes to me, I'll make a note or I'll write a sin. And then the second time through, or the pieces I have. I don't go through necessarily the whole movie a second time, but I'll go through, like maybe I'll have 30 minutes of no sin. So I'll go back through that. But for me, I think it's just YouTube because I'll go look up an outtake. And then all of a sudden these other things will pop up and then I'll just go down this rabbit hole of like YouTube stuff and that distracts me definitely.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm trying to process the question because there are two, it almost seems like some of the answers are what pulls you further into sin brain and what actually takes you out of sin brain. Like, you know, anytime I try to write an alliteration, like a really strong alliteration, I'm going to spend some time on that and have to look up words and different things like that. But that's almost pulling me further in to sin brain, not necessarily stopping me sinning. As far as like taking me out of sin brain, outtakes. And I've stopped looking up the YouTube videos during writing sins because of that, because of, you know, taking so long to get to them. But still, if an outtake comes to me, even if I jot down the notes, I have to force myself to get out of outtake brain and back into sin brain because they, for me, and I don't know if it's true for everybody, for me, they are so different. Like I have to hard shift like out of that. So yeah, if I see a great outtake, I'll find myself writing more great outtakes and forgetting that I'm actually supposed to be sinning the movie.
I mean, the easy answer here is my child pulls me out of sin watching.
Right, yes, but your child's not in the movie.
great, great question. This one comes from Phoenix King, who just quickly asks, "I know Dicer has Sif Pop, but do Jonathan or Danae have any other side projects that you're working on? I love the show. Thank you." So Ian and I are working on a side project right now called Captain's Pod, and there's more to come on that. So I do have a side project with Ian, but like individually, I am mostly just focused on trying to develop content for my Twitch channel. So it's not a podcast, but you can go watch like video on demand style. Aaron and I do a show on Mondays together that you can see on Twitch as well. But like personal own content, it'll likely be just me talking about the video game that I'm playing, possibly getting lost on some bunny trails, maybe pulling my guitar out and singing a song every once in a while. I really just want to get more into that rhythm. And I think I'm going to, my goal is to start doing that on Tuesdays. I don't know when this audio is going to be coming out. And so I hope it's not another one of those things where I really want to do something and then the audio comes out in 2 years and I still haven't done it. So if that happens, you know, I'll just have to kind of reassess why this always happens to me.
Well, you won't know because it's not like you'll listen to this when it comes out.
No, I won't. Anyway, so. There's also a whole podcast and branding thing that I did called Tots and Sass, which was supposed to be another outlet for me individually, but I waffle when it comes to just me. If I'm working with someone and I have a partner, man, I am like all in, let's go. But if it's just me doing it, I always have a really hard time with my own projects, just personally.
I don't have anything specific going on. I mean, Chris and I want to do a podcast again at some point, but once again, like we talked about earlier, you know, you don't want to force anything. It's more just trying to come up with the best thing, and I'm sure that will happen eventually. Maybe by the time this comes out, it will have happened. I do want to write a book at some point. Ooh. I really want to write a book, but finding the time to do that between this job and then just, you know, my daughter has stuff that I, you know, I spend time with her and my family and, you know, it all, then all of a sudden the week's over and you start back up. But I don't know. I think I might mess with some of that this fall because typically around like, what is it? It's August now, but typically we have some downtime, a little bit of downtime, in December, or, you know, at least with CinemaSins. So, yeah, I might be dabbling into that. I have ideas and I've done some outlining and stuff, but I haven't actually gotten into the meat of it yet. So we'll see.
Good question. Here's one from Joseph Davis who asks, what is something that is live action and you think it would be better animated? Polly responds this and says, I'd like to see a live action Nightmare Before Christmas because there was, and also vice versa.
I mean, there's things I'd like to see, but I don't know if there's anything, I couldn't think of anything that would be better.
I was thinking about this too because I do love, you know, animated things and you can do so many different things with, you know, animation. So yeah. There's a, like, I was thinking of things that were really silly, like CSI Miami animated, which doesn't make any sense at all. Or like Good Place animated. These things where, you know, just a normal show that you're watching that you turn into an animation.
Like an animated slasher film. That'd be weird.
Yeah, it would be. You know, vice versa, I can think of a lot of things that would be really fun to see live action. Because I love the world. So if you go like Kipo and the Age of the Wonder Beasts, but then you can't do so much because of the style of the animation. Like I would love to see it because I think if they did it well, it would be fascinating to watch.
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts the other way. Like animation to live action, I have a lot of things that I would really like to see and think be fun. I don't know why it is, but going from live action to animation always feels like a downshift to me in some ways because of how much you can do with live action now. Animation was always a great way to be creative in a way that you couldn't do with live action. And now with computers and so many different things, you can almost do all of it with, you know, live action. Maybe not as easily. But
yeah, because you have to make it almost like seamless.
Well, I'm thinking of crazy things like Darren Aronofsky films. Like, you know, Mother is one of my favorite films. But like, is Mother anime? Like, is he able to do more? Like with the metaphors and, you know, the visuals that he wants. I don't know. That's a pretty amazing visual film in live action.
Or so, like Noah.
Yeah, or Noah. Yeah, like I'm just, so I'm trying to think of those things. I really couldn't. But like the one that I go back to is Last Airbender. And of course, you know, M. Night infamously tried it and completely failed. They're trying to do it again at Netflix and the creators left that project. And so like. It's just like, and they're still going to do it. Netflix is still going to do it. And I'm super nervous about it. But I would love to see that world actually realized, you know, in a live action kind of way. But
I mean, and like with the maybe the Transformers movies, maybe those could be better animated. Yeah. I don't know. Because you'd still have Michael Bay. Right. So not that he's terrible, but I don't know. Something about that. Those movies are just idiotic in a way that I didn't realize was possible. But and then also there's this movie that came out a couple summers ago, Lion King. I think that'd be a pretty good animated.
Or like Cruella live action, but animated like 101 Dalmatian style or something.
Or like Aladdin with Will Smith. I think that would have been a good anime.
Yeah, that could make a good animated film. That's true.
I'm really glad that you brought that up because that was one of the things I thought. I was like, this one's from Scott who asks, if you could change one Best Picture Oscar award, which one would it be And why is it Forrest Gump? Now, here's why I'm glad that you asked that question, because my answer is Forrest Gump. I don't know why that, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't remember this being a thing. I love Forrest Gump, though, so if it didn't win, it should have. Chris said...
No, he said Forrest Gump won.
Oh, well, then it should have won.
He said, but the thing about Forrest Gump, I don't know which movie he's specifically talking about.
Oh.
But I'm guessing it's Pulp Fiction or Shawshank Redemption.
Oh, was that, they were all up at the same time?
Yeah, and actually... I like his answer, but I think I'd be one of the few that would say yes, but I would put Quiz Show.
I'm with you.
Yeah, that was
love Quiz Show.
I love Pulp Fiction, but I like Quiz Show better.
What's wild to me about this question, as somebody who doesn't follow the awards and stuff, is thinking like all of those movies being up at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
And having the advantage of reflection and time, and they all still are really,
yeah, that's a, really that's good a, movies. That's a pretty powerful year. I mean, Forrest Gump, I mean, I don't hear as much people talk about it, but it, like, if you have cable, like, it's on all the time. I mean, it's still a very easily accessible movie, and it's broadcast a lot.
One of the random facts about Danae is if you ask me what movie have I seen the most, mm-hmm. it's Forrest Gump.
I love Forrest Gump.
I watched that movie so many times.
I don't really completely get why people have turned on it. I don't know. And I don't know that people like just full on. I mean, I guess people do hate it. People hate everything. But I don't know. I think that's a really good movie.
Chris responded to your question, Scott, by saying Forrest Gump is definitely a good Best Picture redo. It should be Pulp Fiction or Shawshank. And then he continues by saying Titanic should be rescinded for L.A. Confidential.
That's a good one.
King's Speech.
I totally disagree with that. Titanic was...
Oh, just Titanic's, but that doesn't big. Mean Titanic's just, bad. I just think L.A. Confidential is a better movie.
Yeah, sure.
He says King's Speech should lose to Social Network.
Yes.
This person said one, but fuck it. Those are all really good examples that I would never have like known. And it's hard because you do have a lot of opinion, and then time, like I said, reflects and you think, what are the standout things that...
Well, and there's even movies that weren't nominated. We were just, Chris and Jeremy and I were talking about Almost Famous. I mean, that's easily my favorite film from 2000. Like, I mean, it's not even close, and that wasn't even nominated.
Yeah.
You know, it was in Gladiator, which I do like Gladiator, but it's like... I don't know. That's such a weird year.
Gladiator. I didn't even know Gladiator.
Mine. Are you still looking? I can answer.
Yeah.
Real
no.
quick.
I was looking at '89. Driving Miss Daisy. I don't think should have won Best Picture. And I was just trying to think.
What was it up against?
I think Field of Dreams is probably the one I would have.
What else was it up against?
Made it. Born on the 4th of July. Huh. Dead Poets Society. My Left Foot.
You know. It's weird. I've had a real love hate relationship with Dead Poets Society. I didn't like it for a long time. Now mm-hmm. I kind of love it. So it might be in that conversation. Mine was easy though. 1941. I love How Green Was My Valley. That is a great movie. That is actually Alex Trebek's favorite movie. Trivia.
Oh, nice.
But Citizen Kane not winning Best Picture. I mean, especially now. It's insane to me. I mean, I just don't know how you don't let Citizen Kane win. Talk about a movie that's big and a movie that completely changes filmmaking. I mean, I feel like that's what we should be giving stuff like Best Picture to. You know?
Here's another good example. In '99, American Beauty won in Sixth Sense, probably was, you know, the more seismic film.
I probably would have gone like, I don't even know, 99, man, Eyes Wide Shut, Magnolia. There's just so many films to choose from that year. I mean,
well,
Jeremy
nominees,
would say The Matrix.
Well, I was going to say, it's funny to look at the nominees in 99 and how many aren't on there. But
I know.
It was.
Was it Green Mile nominated?
Yeah, Green Mile, Cider House Rules,
ugh.
The Insider, and The Sixth Sense. Of the ones nominated, Sixth Sense should have won.
I would go Insider with the ones nominated with Sixth Sense right behind it. Green Mile is good.
Sure.
I don't think it should be nominated for Best Picture. Cider House Rules sucked.
Yeah.
I remember that was terrible.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a great question.
But wait, I've got 30 more years I could talk about.
Oh, I mean, I think every year, I mean, what are the chances that your actual favorite film that year is one? I mean, it's probably pretty rare if you actually go back and look through the years. Yeah. You know, I mean, Raiders of the Lost Ark losing to Chariots of Fire.
Right.
E.T. losing to Gandhi. I mean, those are, you know, Jaws. Lost to
Back to the Future was nominated, wasn't
Jaws
it?
Jaws lost to One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. It wasn't nominated for Best Picture. It was nominated for Best Screenplay.
Oh, okay.
It should have won Best Screenplay, but it didn't.
But now on to the most important question from Frank Kemp, who asked, boxers or briefs?
Boxer briefs.
That is what Jeremy said.
Yeah. I briefly wore boxers.
And Barrett says a thin layer of gabardine.
Yeah, Aaron's is not neither.
Gabardine? Do you guys know what that is?
I have no idea what that is.
All right, I'm
looking
this up.
That. I had no idea what he's talking about. I thought it was funny too. Barrett copied over Jeremy's answers.
Oh, okay, gabardine is.
It's like Barrett's like, here are my answers, and then it was like, well, Chris and I started Cinema Sins. I was like, what is this?
Gabardine is apparently a smooth, durable, twill-woven cloth, typically of worsted or cotton. Thank you for teaching us about that today.
Yeah.
I think we've answered this question before, but this one's from Scott, who says, "What's a video that you would have loved to write on but didn't get the chance to?" Fifth Element for me.
That's a good choice.
I love the Fifth Element. I think now that I've been in here long enough, I kind of think it would be fun to just like watch it and give it a little bit of love. But then
when
also
was that
send
one?
That,
that was that like an
6
early
years
one?
Ago. I think. Okay, it was a while ago.
I love tackling like you know favorite movies. So I thought of Seven would mm-hmm. have been a really fun one for me. Silence of the Lambs would have been really fun. I think because I enjoy that challenge of tackling movies that I really love.
Yeah. Yeah, me as well. Yeah, any of the Pixar movies that I wasn't around for.
Oh, yeah.
Any of the Nolan, Prestige, already mentioned that one. That would have been fun to sin. Inception would have been fun to sin. Yeah, there's a bunch I would
I don't enjoyed. Know. Like, Nolan sounds like headache-inducing, though. Like, even if I love the movie, like, I just, yeah. just going
hey, listen,
through that.
Now that I've seen Tenet, yeah. I feel like I can
oh,
sin anything.
My God. I never am unhappy with an assignment.
Sure,
like,
sure.
I'll take anything. But I wasn't, like, sad I didn't get that one.
Yeah.
I was like, God, I don't even know where I'd start. And you guys... That was another one where I think Chris had to like step back. Maybe you did too.
Yeah,
and
yeah, we talked a lot.
Yeah.
This one's about insta-sinning comes from the Deciphered Code, which who asks, what made you want to do insta-sins?
Because we thought we'd get more views. I mean,
have you encountered right? any troubles? Yes. And do you think it will ever be possible to do an insta-sin for a movie?
Yes.
Well, it would have to be
streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have to be streaming.
Or direct to video or something.
Or direct to video, yeah, something like that. It's an interesting question. It's funny because giving it the name InstaSin was probably the best thing we did because it kind of makes it this fun like event kind of thing. But the idea has always been to send things as quickly as we can. It's just that with movies,
you have to wait for the Blu-ray to come out
to be able to do it. And mm-hmm. so... it's not publicly available in that way.
But the streaming things, you know, it's a very interesting thing because we can all kind of watch it and jump on it and mm-hmm. As fast as we possibly can.
And all TV is streaming somewhere, you know, publicly immediately.
So it definitely has changed things and it has been a lot of fun. The final question was, what's one of your favorite that you have InstaSend and why? I think like we could collectively say Rick and Morty because our audience on TV Sends loves Rick and Morty. And so to be able to do it as we go is fun. So we could say that because of the views and stuff, but I think mine is WandaVision because there was a mystery happening at the same time and it was such a mind fuck to try to figure out how to send something that you don't know if it's going to answer itself or if something's going to appear later on in like episode 4 that completely undoes something that you
right.
wrote in episode 1. And then of course you guys know we put them together in this sort of like seasonal recap where you're going to see if we messed our own sins up and we really had to kind of puzzle piece our minds together. And I think WandaVision was with Mandalorian, it was a little bit of that too, a little bit, but WandaVision was more specifically that mystery.
Mm-hmm.
And that was an interesting thing to experiment
with.
Well,
we were all three on every episode, whether we were shadowing or writing, and then we watched them and we talked about them Friday before we did behind the scenes. So that was just kind of a fun thing that we all shared.
I really liked that one a lot. That
my answer is Mandalorian, actually. And I think a lot of it has to do with
I forgot we did. That was second season, right?
It was season 2.
Yeah,
and it was,
I totally forgot.
It was our first InstaSin, right? Was Mandalorian season 2? Wasn't that the first one we did?
Did we not?
No, we did the second half of Rick and Morty season 5. We did those 5 episodes. Those were the first ones. Anyway.
And that was, God, those were, that was the whole like, you know,
4.
Taking out the commercials. That was headache inducing, trying to figure out what the time frames were, time stamps were.
But my answer is Mandalorian because I love the Skywalker thing at the end. I love that we got a chance. Ever since I had sinned the Red Wedding episode of Game of Thrones and had Jeremy was doing the narration on TV Sins at that time and kind of had the narrator do like an emotional reaction, and then Cinny trying to like respond to what the narrator was doing during the Red Wedding, that kind of stuff. I was like, how amazing would it have been to release that when that was all happening? And that's kind of where the seed of the InstaSin was, and so to be able to have a big fan moment like that and have the narrator freak out and Cinny try to, you know, keep up with it, like that was kind of a culminations is a weird word because that almost sounds like an end, but it was, you know, a culmination of that idea of being able to experience a fun event with the fans in kind of
in
the
moment
it's happening.
Yeah.
That second half of that Rick and Morty season, though, we were glad to see how well it worked, but that was not fun because we just had to learn as we went how we needed to schedule them.
Correct.
Because and that was like Mondays were just a pain in the ass.
Well,
like, it was crazy.
We really went for it with that first one. It was like, it airs Sunday. We want it written Monday. We want it produced on Tuesday. And we're going to throw it on the channel as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. And I think what we realized was it's okay to schedule ourselves the ability to write these things well, produce mm-hmm. them well, because many of them are going to, you know, possibly have to wait for a little bit anyway through the claims process, whatever. So I like the way we do it now, but you're right, that those five episodes were intense.
It was fun, but it was intense. It was a lot more intense, but by the time we got it, even Mandalorian, I think we were trying to turn those around at least within a few days, so it got a little better, and then now we've got it, we've figured it out. Mm-hmm. The least anxiety way to do it.
Yeah.
And then I kind of joked about getting more views, but we figured, like, you know, this is what people were watching now. This is like the water mm-hmm. cooler
sure.
show. I don't know if we have water cooler shows anymore, but that was kind of the idea, was to hit those when people are most interested in them, because we've done shows that were very popular, like Sopranos, mm-hmm. but it's just when we did it, like, just nobody really cared about Sopranos anymore. Now, you know, there's a movie coming out. I mean, those are evergreen, right? Because there's like mm-hmm. a movie coming out, that video might get some, you know, people might discover it. I mean, I had somebody the other day say, you guys should send Suits. And I was like, we have, here you go.
All 90 minutes of the pilot.
Yeah, we've just been experimenting with format on TV Sin side the last year, and finding the InstaSin kind of it kind of brought us to the table in a more present and active way. And so, you know, we don't always get a chance to do that. I've really liked it. I think it's a very, it brings a lot of energy to our writing too, because we're just all at the writing table together. I mean, not literally, but, you know, in our minds, just putting the best effort that we can in, because we know that people are actively watching and paying attention to it.
Yeah, so, and it's allowed those full season videos, which people love. It's been really cool.
Good question. Hey, podcast peeps, it's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my. Every time I talk. Wow. Is this how Aaron feels when we're okay? We're gonna try this. Okay. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So go fill it out.
This one comes from Fridge Rain, who asked this question, and Chris did answer this one. If there is nothing faster than light, how did the dark get there first? Chris answers, because there is no such thing as dark, and we only perceive it in the absence of light. Thank you for that question. Moving on.
Yeah, I had no answer for that one. There you go.
That's the answer.
This one's from Sid's Objective, who asks, what's your personal record for the number of tabs open for a CinemaSins research?
This is more you two, I think. I close my tabs pretty frequently.
I can't believe it.
Like, you do, Jeremy does, and Barrett does, too.
I will tell you, just outside of the sinning, I always have Gmail and Slack up. Like, I almost always have those up in case you guys are trying to get in touch with me or whatever. And then I obviously have the script tab up, because we use the docs now. And then I typically have the IMDb page up for whatever I'm working on, just because if I have to reference a cast member, occasionally Wikipedia. And then I always have YouTube up. But when I go do, like, if I have to research something else, if I have to look something up, once I've looked it up, I close it. So
that's wild.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that wild,
well,
though?
It's just,
I don't know. It's just not how I operate.
But yeah. I get, like, I genuinely, and this might be Jeremy, too. I'm not going to speak for him, but I genuinely get, like, anxiety if there's too many tabs up.
Sure.
Like, it starts bothering me.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, Jeremy says, at one time, I usually close tabs when I'm done with them. I think the most research I ever did for a sin was Now You See Me, and it was a sin I had to cut because I was super wrong about it and had totally misunderstood a thing. I did maybe close 2 hours of research on that one. It's embarrassing. Stop making me talk about it.
I thought that was Barrett's answer. Nobody's even going to get that joke.
Barrett responds and says, like Jeremy, I'm a serial tab closer, so I only have 2 to 3 open at once. And I'm telling you right now, I easily can have up to 20 tabs open on my computer at a time.
No
easy.
Problem.
No, you guys have said that. And I'm just like, "Rrr."
But it's even worse because I also have 4 windows open from different accounts.
Yes.
So I have my CinemaSins account. I have my Studio DNA account. I have my personal account. And I'll hop back and forth, and each one may have upwards of 10 tabs open.
Oh, and then I do, obviously, I have the video. So I have that. I guess that's technically a tab. What do we use?
VLC.
VLC, so that's what I use.
Yeah, I have VLC, Slack, usually Word. I usually have about
VLC's
2 or 3.
VLC is a program. VLC is not in browser.
By the way, when did they start having that subtitle thing? I'm so glad you showed me that, where you can look up subtitles.
Yeah. Well, I just from the beginning of me using it, so I've
I thought initially you guys went to a site and downloaded them.
But then Chris figured out how to do that.
Oh.
You guys don't know what we're talking about, but listen, we have to read a lot of subtitles, and so sometimes a show won't have a subtitle on it, and we actually have to go hunt down the subtitles. That's the
I've had a couple where there weren't any, but it's that's nice.
I know yesterday I'd accidentally closed out a window, and when you go to recently close, it'll say open this many tabs or whatever, and it was 36. It said open 36 tabs, and I was like, yep, open them back up.
Yep.
And that's my baseline. That's not writing. When I'm writing, I have the script.
Guys, Jonathan is sweating.
Oh, my daughter does this, though. When I go to my daughter's, and she's got a Mac, too, which is, it's more of a pain to get everything closed for some reason for me, but she has so many up, and I'm just like, you've got to close those before I can help you. I'm done.
When I start a script, I immediately open about 5 or 6 tabs of, like you said, IMDb, different things like that. And then every time I do research, I leave those open in case I want to go back to them. And it's nice because it's all contained in my script window. So like I pull the script out and then all the research I'm doing. And so like I'm not seeing any of my other like productivity tabs
like
from
Gmail
work, those
or whatever.
Gmail, those kind of things. I'm just seeing my writing tabs. And sometimes those I'll see a tab that I've left open and go, oh, I can do a call back to that or, you know.
Do you still watch the movie on a TV though? Like, did you used to do that? Right?
I did used to watch on a TV.
But now that we have them digital.
Now that we're doing more digital.
Because I have to use a second monitor. I can't, you do just on the laptop, right? You click back and forth, or didn't you used to do that?
I now have like one monitor will be the and it's a separate computer
because
I got a gaming computer, so my gaming computer is where I actually air my material, and I'll just hit the space bar and then I'll write on my laptop a lot of times.
That second monitor was a lifesaver because when I didn't even have an office set up when I first started doing this full time. And so I was like in the living room and I was just on my laptop. So I was switching back and forth or I was watching the movie on a TV.
That's what I used to do, yeah.
And I didn't really like either one of those scenarios.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out my groove, but I always have tabs open like you, Aaron. And they are like little bunny chill reminders of thoughts that I have.
Oh, I got you. So, but see, because I guess I'm thinking like I look up whatever I need to look up. I write the sin and I don't need that anymore.
Yeah, I keep it up.
I keep it up, and it has occasionally led to me writing a running gag. Like I'll notice that I've still got that tab up and that kind of thing. But no, it's probably wiser to close them, I guess. I'm just like, it's also satisfying at the end when I'm done with a script to hit the X and just like close, you know, 50 tabs. It's like,
well, that's like you opening up all of them at the same time for the videos.
It's like your computer taking a massive shit. Just like, get that out of my system. The poor RAM.
I clear out my, I erase files constantly too. Like I'm always like, if I don't need this anymore, it's in the trash.
Good for you. Know.
Yeah.
This one's from Possible Movies, who says, as a member of the B team, so either of us can answer this one, are you ever allowed outside or is it a dungeon window your best source of sunlight?
No, we have a window.
I have a window in my office.
And we have a little slot in the door.
I don't
that
usually
they feed
have the blinds
through.
Open, though.
Yeah.
Usually it's what? We get 3 crackers around noon?
Yeah, that's our snack time.
time.
And then I think an apple, of course. We get an apple around 3 o'clock.
Do you guys forget to eat, though? I forget to eat all the time. And then it'll be time to go pick up my daughter and from school, and I'll be like,
I'm so hungry. Yeah,
I don't have time to make anything.
Yes, that's why I started doing the adult Lunchables thing, where I could just go and just grab the adult and just rip the thing off and then have a quick
snack.
Noon
every day, I just have an adult Lunchable.
Do they have adult Lunchables?
Yeah.
Well, they're Hillshire Farms does great ones.
Oh, I'm going
to
do
that. They have like incredible. We're gonna go to the grocery store after this. On a serious note, no, they don't let us out.
Nope.
Send help. Okay. This one comes from Name Cannot Be Blank, who asks, why does Hollywood at large still think we don't want to know what is happening in action scenes? Chris responds to this and says, I honestly think the problem is that they can't use the real actors to do a lot of these scenes, and they have to constantly cut between the real person and the stunt person, and they can't make the star learn all the moves and do the dangerous stuff. They also don't have the time to set up a proper action scene because the release date of those films is known to too far in advance. Also, I think they believe fast-paced editing is more exciting for some reason.
It's interesting. I read I think it was Outlaw Vern. I think it was a review he wrote. Maybe it was of Black Widow, and he did this whole like paragraph on how just insane he thinks it is that Disney with these Marvel movies, with how much money they spend. He's like, they could be like setting they could be like the Matrix, like setting up new action movie trends and mm-hmm. styles and like the way you shoot an action scene, because they have like, you know, unlimited resources for these movies. But they, for whatever reason, I think he ended it with something like they're not even trying to be the third, or like they've settled on being the third best. Like mm-hmm. they just don't seem to care about these action scenes. And I don't really understand it. They're not terrible. I don't think I'm quite to the level of like a lot of people are, but I do think that they, especially after watching like 20 plus movies in this universe, they do become interchangeable.
They do.
Yeah.
I think Chris is right. I think it's ROI. Yeah. I think it's return on investment. I don't feel like they think that really investing in a top-notch, really cool action scene that you can watch from like mm-hmm. one cut from a distance is worth the 10% of fanboys and fangirls that'll be like, oh, did you see that? Whereas 90% of the audience is probably just, you know, that's the fight, who won, right? Like there's, you know, there really is, I think. Now there's I would say they're subliminal in, you know, things that I think everybody picks up that, you know, that can be like, oh, I enjoyed that for some reason, I don't know why. But at the same time, I think they're probably right. I think the ROI is probably maybe better on just doing these, because they're fine.
Yeah, they're fine. But
they're fine.
But I do agree, especially with Disney. I mean, they just have so much money, and they're already putting so much money towards it. Why, you know, I don't know.
Why not just do deepfake?
Why not go get a different coordinator or something? I don't know.
Well, you're not wrong, Danae. I mean, eventually the cost of fully CG actors is going to come down enough,
or just,
and be realistic enough.
I'm just even saying, like, cut to the stunt double. But you
know, that's what I mean.
You deep fake
their
face.
No, and there's no, like, I'm trying to even think of like a moment in an action scene from like an MCU movie that like stands out to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are like dialogue moments. There's like, you know, on your left. I mean, obviously that's a big moment, but that's not an action moment. Whereas you go, like, I think back to like movies, and maybe this is just more when you're a kid. Maybe people that were kids when these movies came out, they do have something from Iron Man that sticks mm-hmm. out to them. I think about Superman, like Zod realizing that he's lost his power, mm-hmm. and or like the crane kick, or mm-hmm. like, you know, like I like, there's not like, and I'm not saying those are necessarily great action scenes, but I'm just saying like they don't even have like those like cool moments that
they've got. One, they've got the one that I always go back to is Captain America elevator scene. That's the one kind of
I like that scene because and I love the whole like, are we gonna do this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or does anyone want to get off or something?
Yeah.
No, because Frank Grillo is so good in that scene too. No, that's beautiful. That would be probably the one that stands out to me as well.
One of the ones, and this isn't the question, but one of the big standout at all fight is Kill Bill. There's just so many.
Oh, Kill Bill's great. Yeah,
right. But that's somebody who cared about that.
Well, Tarantino like knows. Like, I mean, that's his. Like, he's obsessed with that kind of stuff. So he got, I don't remember who the coordinator was, but you know, he went and purposely got him, flew him mm-hmm. over, right. and
yeah.
But that's not why people go to see Marvel movies, right? Like, that's not, you know. So there's.
Yeah, and I'm starting to wonder why people do see Marvel movies. Is it just, no, I'm serious. I mean, is it just the fanboy stuff? Is that what they're going for?
I think it's IP investment. I think it's IP investment, and it's fun. It's fun. Friends. F-U-N fun.
I have friends, like, there was a parent of one of my daughter's classmates that we become friends with, him and his wife. He never read comics. Never picked up comics. But once he got into MCU, he's still not reading comics, but he does research. So like he knows who all these characters are sometimes better than I do, because he got really into it, you know, in a way that I just never have. But that's just one movie. I'm really excited to see what happens in Matrix 4. I'm really curious.
Yeah, good call.
What's going to be, not initially the movie itself, but just I'm really curious about the action in that movie, because that, I feel like, I mean, there's a lot of great like foreign films and stuff, a lot of great, you know, action films overseas and stuff that are still being made. But I just feel like the Matrix feels like that was the last, maybe like the Bourne movies. But it, the like Bourne Matrix or the Bourne
so,
movies.
The, I mean, those were so
Bourne movies
powerful
are part of the
because,
problem kind of though,
what?
Right?
Wait, what? No.
But the Bourne movies were trying new things. That's what I'm saying. I mean, even if they didn't completely succeed.
What?
Well, I will say.
Go ahead. I want to hear what Danae had.
Yeah, say what you have to say.
They cut the music out, guys.
Oh, that's
good. It was
quiet.
Yeah,
and
it was
like
awful.
That.
Because then you could hear all of the punches.
Yeah. That's what I love about the movie Haywire. So
like,
Soderbergh's Haywire is like
even
that.
even if it's like we're cutting, there's so much happening. It's like it was so intense.
I just remember in the Bourne Ultimatum,
it made my stomach turn.
Before I went and saw the Bourne Ultimatum, I watched some like behind the scenes thing on it. And they were talking about how the way they sped it up and the way they filmed it, like you're literally seeing every punch. Yeah. Like you're not just, it's not just like cuts. It's, you're just seeing everything. And for me, honestly, that was kind of nausea-inducing when I was watching it in theater. Yeah. But I appreciate the attempt, at least, you know. And I feel like stuff now, like all of these big summer blockbusters, like they're not even trying. They're just like, well, you know, I mean, this works. People don't care. I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think most people just don't give
it's
a
ROI.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's a question we cannot answer from David, who says, how much could a woodchuck chuck if he would chuck could chuck wood? This is one of the most important questions asked of all time, and we're not going to be able to answer it here today, so we're going to move on to Rob's question. Which movie did you have the most,
I believe the answer is a chuck ton.
Which movie did you have the most fun sinning, and which movie did you have the least fun sinning? This one is a hard question for me. I'm going to go answer from Chris, who says, at this point it's been 9 years and I always fall back on certain ones as my favorite. Sinister and the original animated Cinderella, and the most tedious was Transformers Age of Extinction. I also enjoyed doing The Room in Birdemic because you could just open up the Sins playbook.
He said one of his favorites was Cinderella.
That's what he said.
Oh, cool.
He says, if I came up with more recent fun ones, it would be Tenet because of the mental gymnastics. A bad one was Wonder Woman 1984 because it's both disappointing and terrible and forces you to stop about every 10 seconds to write something about it. This one's really hard for me because I launch things. I almost forget what it was like in the moment to write them. And I remember the final product and being proud of it more than I remember the writing experience of it. I'd have to go back and listen to Behind the Sins because I know I talk about it during the process. But some of my least favorite are obviously The Office. And What If has actually been really difficult for me too. Because it just, there's something in me
not
that's
that
not having
fun. Not
that
any of those videos may or may not be out at this point.
Yeah.
I don't think people know we're doing What If. I've seen people ask if we're gonna do it.
Yeah, well, if it's not out, that means something went awry.
That's right.
But those are hard. The ones where it's just I'm not having fun and I cannot click into sin mode. And then of course the ones that I'm having fun in. I think about The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, the animated one with the Benedict Cumberbatch. I did have fun, you know, writing on that one. Even though. Always writing for main channel is a bit stressful.
That's funny. One of my favorite ones is also The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, but it was the original.
Oh, with Carrie?
Oh, the TV?
Yeah, the TV one.
Oh, the TV one.
That was
one of our early TV. That was our first December, right?
That's I think
the first
of that,
Christmas.
I think of the Peanuts Halloween special was really fun.
Or Frosty the Snowman.
Snowman was really fun. Yeah, yeah. Some of those TV specials were really fun.
The Great Pumpkin was cool, too, because that was one of the first ones I remember.
Right.
It didn't go viral or anything, but I remember there was like art. There was a couple articles where it referenced it and like, mm-hmm. you know, tagged us and all that kind of stuff. I just thought that was kind of cool that people, because yeah. it was around that time of season and everything.
I always go back to Skyscraper. I think that was my first writing assignment that I was like, oh, this is a blast. And it just felt like the final product came out really well. It's
that wasn't
one of my
even
favorite
that long
videos.
Ago, was it?
Well, I mean, how long have we been writing?
I have no idea.
It's really only been a few years. So, but as far as worst, I don't know. I kind of don't remember the worst because I kind of get rid of it in my mind. But I imagine it is that experience of, especially those movies or TV shows where it's like, yeah, they're bad, but they're bad in the same way all the way through. And so you just
it's
don't
just
have
slog.
Enough ways to like
yeah,
say, this
say,
is slow.
Yeah.
This is slow. Did I mention this is slow? You
yeah.
know, like that kind of stuff gets a little annoying yep. sometimes. But yeah.
I remember the first time I really had fun was, so we started, I guess, August or whatever. I did Annabelle and I did Boss Baby. And then September back then, we were only doing one a week. Mm-hmm. So I didn't think I did Flatliner. So those are my first three. And I definitely had fun doing those, but I was still really just kind of getting into it, trying to figure out what works and all that kind of stuff. And then my first one in October was Scream 2. And that's when it just clicked for me. I also have a lot of fun with that movie. So I enjoy watching that movie. So that probably helped too. But I just remember that's when my sin brain, like, I really felt like it just clicked
yeah.
in. So that was a lot of fun. Oh, my least favorite, I hate doing bland comedies are just really hard. They're
yeah.
mind numbing, like Danae yeah. is talking about. And it's really hard to just find anything to like not be bland about yourself. So probably something like Bad Moms. That was not fun. Girls Trip? Girls Trip wasn't really fun. And it's no reflection on the movies themselves. They're just kind of, I don't know. Girls Trip is better than Bad Moms. Bad Moms is actually kind of bad, but for me, in my opinion. But there's just something about that. Comedies that just don't connect with me, don't click mm-hmm. with me. That I always have a hard time with those. But I typically find a way to have fun with just about anything.
Yeah.
TV. I mean, The Office is not easy for some reason.
Yeah.
And then I will say the worst experience I had, I tell you this, CinemaSins or TV Sins, was that Office episode we did recently that dealt with suicide.
Mm-hmm.
That was a personal thing, but that, I just had a lot of,
yeah.
I told Aaron, like, I'm not going to be able to finish this. Like,
yeah.
yeah.
Like, I got to like minute yep. 18. I'm like, I'm done. Cause they were, I don't know. But anyways.
That's too much.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true too. Sometimes there's like emotional stuff that happens that
we
pulls
almost
you
even
out.
we even almost didn't do that because
yep.
I remember Barrett even said something about maybe we
yeah,
shouldn't
we
do
talked
this
about
one,
it.
But then we figured it out. Aaron's always the mm-hmm. good voice to have in that scenario.
Good job, Aaron.
Hey, thanks.
Here's one from Steven who asks, "What is something that you tried or a place that you went solely because you saw it in a movie?" Jeremy answers this question with a fish taco place from I Love You Man, circular car garage from The Dark Knight, and the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville, hell. The last one was a joke. I guess just the word hell. That was a joke.
I don't even think I've ever been to the Bluebird Cafe. Maybe when I was a kid, but like.
Mine's the Hobbit Hole.
It's weird. Well, obviously. Jeremy isn't from here, but it's always weird when you probably have places like this in Michigan. It's always weird, or like if you were from Memphis, maybe you don't go to Graceland. You know, it's just. Like, when you're from a place, like, you don't necessarily do the touristy stuff.
Right.
You know, your parents don't take you to the touristy stuff, and therefore you don't do it, you know?
Right.
So that's always interesting to me when people talk about these things. Like, you know, we went to blah, 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 and we loved it. I'm like, I've never been. I went to the Grand Ole Opry for the first time, like, 6 years ago.
Yeah.
You know? So,
yeah.
I don't know. That's interesting.
So is this asking places we have gone to because we've seen them in movies? Hawaii is probably going to be, you know, my
yeah.
biggest answer. We went to Kalua Ranch, which is filmed so many different things. Lost, most specifically, most of Lost was filmed mm-hmm. in areas of Kalua Ranch. Jurassic Park was also filmed there. But specifically, I mean, obviously, it's gorgeous. It's one of the most beautiful settings I've ever been to personally. But we specifically went to that ranch because we knew how many movies and TV shows had shot there, and to see the different, you know, things.
Yeah.
And the Lost stuff especially was so great. And of course, that was impacted by the fact that we were there in Hawaii on the premiere of the final season of
oh,
Lost.
Wow.
And so they did a big premiere of the first episode on the beach with a big screen. And
oh,
all
you got
the,
to go to it?
Yeah, and all the stars were there. And
did you have to buy a ticket, or was it just if you?
No, it was public for the people in Hawaii. And
did you get to meet anyone?
I met Damon Lindelof.
Oh, nice.
He had a script under his arm.
Our huge fan of CinemaSins, Damon Lindelof.
I bet if he understood, like, you know, I could have a conversation with Damon about that.
No, he seems like a very smart guy.
I love him, but he had a script under his arm. I said, "Hey, is that a script from the final season that you're working on?" He was like, "Yes," and I was like, "What if I just grabbed it?" And he was like, "I would have to hunt you down." We had a fun conversation.
That's
is
nice.
That fun? Is that fun?
Yes, he was laughing in that way. That's like,
It took. I didn't go till like 07 or so, but so it was. I was probably 31, I guess. But San Francisco was a place I always wanted to go, and that was a lot. You know, like growing up watching like the Dirty Harry movies.
Sure.
Vertigo.
Yeah, definitely. There's some Vertigo stuff that you go see.
The Rock. Which was a little later, but I always wanted to go there, and I've been a few times, and I absolutely love it there, and I just love the Bay Area. If I was to like actually move to California, that's where I'd want to be. I'd want to be in the Bay Area somewhere. We even got to stay the first time my wife and I went. We stayed in the Fairmont, which is like. I don't know. I mean, it might not be the best hotel in San Francisco, but it's like the hotel that like I think of because it's been in a lot of movies as well. The Rock, for instance, that's where Sean Connery's getting his haircut. And then he does that whole action scene off the balcony and stuff. So we got to stay in the Fairmont for a week and just, you know, go to Alcatraz and, you know, go to eat to these places I had heard about, you know, Man versus Food and stuff like that. I'd seen stuff on. It was so much fun. I was like, you know, drove down the street. Like, I bet this is where the remote control car chased the police car in the Deadpool. You know, it was a blast. I don't get the hill system. I don't know. I know there's a geological reason it has to be that way, but that is not fun to walk.
Or just, drive like those downhill drives that go snake back and forth.
Our friend that lived out there, then she still lives out in that area, although I think they've moved somewhere else other than San Francisco. But I remember she had it was just funny. She had a minivan that was a stick shift, which you don't see that often. And she was driving that thing around the streets of San Francisco like it was nothing. I'm like, I have no idea how you do this.
I don't know how you're
like,
alive.
We had to stop at the top of a hill, and I'm like, oh my God.
We're
like,
all going to die.
It's one of my favorite cities, though. I love it.
I don't have an answer to this one. I joked around about it earlier. I would love to go see The Hobbit Hole.
Oh, of course.
I mean, that would be something that I would go be like, I just want to see, even though I know it's just a prop, but it's still there, just to kind of like, I'm standing where everyone else stood. Just that idea that you're kind of in the same place.
And that's like a tourist area, right?
Yeah,
like,
it is now.
It's not, and it's not because of that, because my daughter's never seen any of that, but she, for some reason, she just really wants to go to New Zealand. Something she saw somewhere made her really want to go to New Zealand. So we might be doing that at some point in our lives.
Barrett answers this question with Ruby Foos in New York City from a Woody Allen movie seen while I was in New York. The Griffith Observatory is seen in a million movies. Sears Tower is leaning my head against the window like Ferris Bueller and Company.
Yeah, I thought of the observatory as well in L.A.
I didn't
go there because it's been in a bunch of movies.
Yeah, I didn't either.
But when I was there, I was definitely aware of, you know, most recently La La Land when I was there. You know, how many great scenes have been shot there.
It is really cool though to just be up there and see the Hollywood sign and everything. That's a cool moment. Dallas is another city that I think it was just from watching Dallas when I was a kid. I was like, that place looks cool.
Here's one from James. We've actually answered this one before on our show, so you might have one just kind of at the top of your head, who asks, what is something that you've only watched for sins purposes but you now love? My go-to answer is The Good Place. I wouldn't have ever watched that unless it was a sign to
me. You
watched
the whole series, right?
And I got addicted to it, jumped into it, and then watched every bit of it and loved it a whole bunch.
I just got into a show that I just sent that we haven't released yet, so I guess I'll leave that alone. But
this could come out like in 6 years. We don't know. Say it.
Yeah, you can say it.
Lucifer. I really enjoyed that pilot, even though I knew it was kind of generic and stuff. But I loved the chemistry of the two leads so much. I was like, I got to see where this goes. So I'm a few episodes in. And I'm really enjoying it. But Isle of Dogs, I might have said this when we covered Isle of Dogs on Behind the Sins. Like, I fell in love with that movie.
Yeah.
And I really liked A Christmas Carol. That was probably the most surprising one, the Jim Carrey, the animated one, the Robert Zemeckis. Because I'm like, I didn't want to watch it at the time because I was like, I've seen this story so many times, I don't care, you know? Yeah. But then I had to watch it for sin purposes, and I was like, this is actually really well made. I don't know if it's something I'm going to keep watching, but I was just like, this is actually a really well made version of this. I can understand why this is some people's Christmas Carol, you know, that kind of thing.
Chris answers this one with, love is a strong word, but I enjoyed Hitman's Bodyguard, which I have only seen for sin's purposes. Do you have one, Aaron?
Man, I don't know that I could even tell you three movies that I saw for the first time sinning them. Like, I just, like, I watched so many movies since being a movie critic over the last few years.
Did you do Predator?
I don't think I was on Predator.
Did you write that one? Yeah. I remember you talking. Maybe I was. Maybe that was on Civ Pop. I just remember, for some reason, I have that memory of you saying, like, you watched Predator for the first time.
I did watch Predator for the first time recently, but I don't think it was to sin it. I could be wrong, but it's not like I fell head over heels for that movie.
No, I think that
might
have been Jeremy and Barrett now that I think about it.
But yeah, so I don't know that I have an answer for this, just because I usually come to a movie having already seen it. So.
I will say, speaking of Predator, a couple that I did where I didn't really like them. Like, I'd seen them in the theater, but I wasn't like a huge fan of them. And then I actually started liking them when I seen them.
Yeah.
Was the Predator, the most recent one, the Shane Black one, and Venom.
Yeah.
And I probably watched Venom like 12 times.
It's not bad.
It's just so watchable.
Yeah,
like,
it's really
just
fun.
And Tom Hardy is so good. And, and they keep delaying the sequel. And I'm like, God damn it, just release this movie. I want to see Carnage.
Barrett answers this question also, and he says, I'm ashamed to say I hadn't watched Citizen Kane before sinning it. I'd seen it, but it was with a bunch of people who'd already seen it, and we were just talking about it rather than actually watching it.
That's interesting. We got two mentions of Citizen Kane on this podcast.
Of course, after marinating in it, it's definitely the classic that earned its reputation. This one comes from Cody, who asks, whatever happened to the scene does not contain a lap dance sin? This is a really great question because this is something that's come up behind the scenes with me. I didn't know that it was a repeating sin. You know, when I first started with the company, I jumped into the deep end not knowing a lot about the branding and kind of have learned as I've gone. And I remember Aaron saying, like, if I were you, I would start watching as much content as I can because there's recurring kind of sins.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't listen to you on that one.
Well, that was they had pretty much stopped using that when we came on.
It came up around that time, and I was like, oh, is this one that we're doing and that would spark the discussion? Like, there's actually some that we've retired, which only further told me that I shouldn't go back and watch anything because I just learn as I go better than I do. My interpretation was just that it wasn't an appropriate sin any longer, and it kind of could be something that easily paints a picture that we just don't want to paint any longer as to who the narrator is.
Even though it came from a perfectly fine place. Like, I don't think there was anything. I guess we don't have to talk about all that. I don't know. But I think that's it. And also, like, you know, running gags, eventually they run out.
Yeah. It did appear in a script recently where it was absolutely appropriate because a lap dance was mentioned. So it's not like it's gone forever. Yeah. It's not something that's going to be forced. Chris and Jeremy both answered this question by saying, Chris says, basically just being used too much. And then it changed to, is it my girlfriend or wife? And that got old. We still refer back to it when we're playing on the sin. And Jeremy says, people who hate us started using it as some kind of proof that we were perverts.
I want to talk a little bit more about
that. That's kind of more the one.
People using it as a weapon.
Because it's a really interesting thing. Now, you can go into a really deep discussion of how comedy changes, what becomes appropriate, what's not appropriate, all that kind of stuff. But the Simpsons narrator has always been a character, and that character has always been horny. Like, he's always been thirsty. And so the, you know, not a lap dance in this scene, the is not my girlfriend, is not my wife, you know, sins, you know, that kind of stuff that we've also retired. That makes perfect sense for that character, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you then go, okay, but there's this greater sense of, you know, the public understanding of what's funny. And because things change and ideas change, some things are no longer funny. And that's completely fine. That's appropriate. And so you stop, you know, doing them. I just think it's the last point about using it against us is a really interesting one, because I was just thinking the other day, if you were to add together all the sins ever written on any of the sins channels, do you know how many jokes we've written? Like, I mean,
yeah,
I know.
We are
writing currently 2 movies a week, 2 TV shows a week, and a music video a week, right?
And a commercial.
And a commercial a week. So we're currently writing 6 scripts a week.
And recording 2 podcasts.
Well, the podcasts are different.
That's true.
Because we're not writing jokes from a perspective of a character, like those kind of things. We're just having conversations. But if someone wants to paint a picture of us, it's easy. It's easy. You can cherry pick the sins you want to say anything about us.
Yeah.
You can cherry pick the sins you want to say we're amazing. You can cherry pick the sins you want to say we're terrible people. Like it's
we're bad writers, whatever. Funny,
like this,
you know.
Like that is the power of out of context, right? And so, yeah, that's a really interesting one to me because there's no way you can define us by even like a half a dozen jokes because that's literally 0.00003% of the material we've written.
I don't even remember how we came up on something. It might even been Reddit. It might not have been Twitter, and it might have been something like Jeremy shared or maybe Danae shared. I can't remember, but I did randomly see a comment where somebody called us sexist, and I was just like, you have not watched anything that we've done then.
Well, and this is the example I also use is the fact that you will see comments within, the same page of each other that say opposite things.
Yes.
I know.
You know, it's like CinemaSins guys are sexist and then 3 down, CinemaSins guys are so woke.
Yeah.
The narrator is a character, which we don't talk about too much, but I mean, you could even argue is he a good person? I mean, there's there's all kinds of things. Like maybe, like you said, he's horny.
Right.
And he bitches about everything. He complains about everything. I mean, that's kind of what we do. So, but we have rules. We have lines that we don't cross. We don't, we're not just mean-spirited for the sake of being mean-spirited. Mm-hmm. We try not to be. But even then, stuff gets out that we maybe don't think about at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We had a COVID sin recently. Mm-hmm. And, Aaron and I both, because we had 2 in the script. Aaron brought up his, maybe this one shouldn't go. I was like, yeah, I think I agree with you. So we got rid of that when we kept 1 in. And then even Chris was like, I don't know that we want to go there because then it's going to, people are going to use that, And so I was like, no, that's a good point. So this is another reason why it's good we have multiple people. But even then, stuff is going to get out there that we just aren't thinking about at the time.
Yeah, I think the answer is things change.
Yeah.
Things change and we don't want to, the narrator stays the same, but how we approach certain sins are going to shift and change as we're educated or as we realize that the narrator just isn't that much of a fucking asshole or isn't that much of a pervert or isn't that kind of a guy. Like, we're going to find those new boundaries for him, and we do as a writing team, just like every show. So,
I think if you look at what we take sins off for now, I think that's interesting because I think that's changed and that's evolved. Like, we sometimes take sins off because it's like, this is a great representation of a female character, stuff like that, not just that, like, this person's awesome or they're giving a good,
I mean, there's been times that I'll say, hey, this sin just is right on the border of just being really inappropriate. Even though I know the narrator is inappropriate, I'm just going to mention this. This could be interpreted in a totally different way. And the guys on the team are like, wouldn't have thought about that before. And so it's a really interesting thing to always try to be working out. And we're not going to, we're still going to write offensive jokes purposefully and accidentally. And that's that. But the lap dance
I would
dance
say purposely
ones,
transgressive, not purposely offensive.
There you go. That's it. I'm like, wait, that didn't feel right before I move on. I'm like, I don't want to move on yet.
And it's like we do get accused of like being woke and politically correct, and it's like, you can accuse me of that all day. I don't care. I'll take that.
Yeah. Tim asks, in a death match, who would you put your money on? The TV Sins narrator or the Music Sins narrator? Now, Barrett answered this question.
Neither one of them are fighters. I mean, if we're talking about the actual person.
Barrett answered this by saying, my money is always not on me, so I'd go with TVS.
Yeah, I have the exact same answer. but I try to think of it 2 ways. If you're talking like if Barrett and I have to fight to the death.
Well, it's the narrators though, right?
Those narrators
are more likely to start making out than fight.
So funny.
The idea of you and Barrett having a fight is hilarious on so many levels, and you would kill him, by the way. Just because, I mean, you're just taller, and you've probably got the high ground.
That's right.
You do have the high ground.
I don't know, I've never talked to Barrett really about fighting. Like, I've honestly never been in a fight my entire life.
Me neither.
I've been hit, but I've never reacted. You know, I've never followed through, probably because I was really hurt. But I don't know what Barrett's philosophy on that is. He's not really a fighter. I would not call him a fighter by any means. He's definitely more of a philosopher, lover kind of person.
Yeah, their fight would be some philosophical argument that lasted for several hours that would result in some
a verbal altercation. Yeah. That would be interesting.
That would be.
So the real question is, who would win the war of, is there an E in the word judgment?
You guys would just fight over that.
This one is from Maxim, who asks, when was your first experience with garlic bread? I don't remember I've been having garlic bread for so long. I remember loving garlic bread, and then that led me to a place called Fazoli's.
I was just gonna say Fazoli's.
Fazoli's is known for like unlimited garlic bread, and so is Olive Garden for that matter. I love garlic bread. I especially love the garlic bread restaurants where you can, like, they bring out a nice freshly made like baguette, and you cut up the bread, and then you mix your own
oil and spices
and toasted garlic and spices. That's my favorite.
Yeah, like Carrabba's, Macaroni Grill, places like that do that.
My least favorite is Fazoli's, because something about their whatever they have invented that is their version of garlic bread. There's three ways I know I can instantly trigger an IBS reaction in my body, and Fazoli's garlic bread is one of them.
I have a list of three things.
I could be wrong, but I feel like most fast food places, I feel like those are made somewhere else and they're frozen and then they just heat them.
I think they dip them in some kind of really saturated butter sauce.
Yeah, there's a lot of butter.
And it's just
possibly crack cocaine.
But the type of butter, I feel like it's a specific kind of butter that is a trigger, because I could have one garlic bread there and I'm done for.
I have been to Fazoli's probably under 30 times in my life. And every single time it was because I wanted to eat breadsticks. Look at the garlic bread.
You just
bread.
Bought like a sandwich or something
keep them coming. Keep them coming.
Yeah, that's like going to like a Mexican restaurant and just getting like a small like taco or something.
I don't like
hardly
any of their food
there. Just eat the chips.
I don't like their pizza. I don't like their pasta. I don't like their lasagna.
I'm not a huge Italian person. I love pizza. But it's always like spaghetti night at our house is always my least favorite night, because I'm just like, I'll make it for them, and then I'll typically make myself something else, because I'm not a big spaghetti person or anything like that. I like it fine. I think I can eat it, but it's not something that stands out to me. The only thing I could think of is when I played Little League, we always went to this pizza place in Nashville that does not exist anymore, hasn't existed for a long time. It's called Red Geranium. And I'm guessing that was the first place I ever had it, but I don't specifically remember that.
I'm sure it was my mom made garlic bread for me at some point. It was the first time I had it.
Garlic bread is so yummy.
My mom wasn't really
I'm
a
so
cook
hungry.
For
do the do the cheddar biscuits at Red Lobster count as garlic bread? Those have a little garlic on
also,
them, right?
Another place. Those are so only good. Reason to go is the bread,
right?
You can make that at home. They have the cheddar biscuit mix.
I know
you
now
can
you
make
can,
it home.
But back
it's
then
so
you
yummy.
Yeah. You had to go like eat some like bland shrimp or something just so you could have Cheddar Bay biscuits. And I don't think those are unlimited, are they?
Yeah, they are. They'll bring as much as you want, man.
I just can't. I don't think those are rich though. I can't eat like 30 of those or anything. Like,
I think I may have eaten 30 of those at
one
sitting.
Oh my god!
One time.
I would just be like shitting at
that
the table.
Texas Roadhouse.
Like, I wouldn't even make it. It would just be like,
I don't even need to eat four.
A biscuit goes in, and shit comes out. It's just like a little machine.
It'd be like Cartman in that South Park episode.
God.
My dad was holding the bucket behind me.
Oh, no. And for those of you who are asking in your imagination, thank you. The other two things on my list are over 6 shrimp and too much ice cream. Those are my other.
Oh, ice cream!
IBS
yeah, ice cream
inducing.
Kills me, but it's so good.
Barrett, I think we have time for a couple more.
Barrett, answer this with the old spaghetti factory. As a young kid, it blew my mind. I ate so much garlic bread that I got sick, and I couldn't actually eat any of the spaghetti.
That is a possibility as well, but I cannot remember when I first went to the spaghetti factory. But that's a very big possibility. That was the first place I had it.
Yeah, we've got a few more here. We'll just kind of power through them. This one's from R and PB, who asks, is the B team a transferable or permanent position?
It's permanent.
Jared asks, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
Ice cream sandwich?
That's different.
Whole house ice cream sandwich cookie?
Ooh. Oh, that's my wife's favorite. You and my wife would be eating those all day.
This one was a question answered by Chris. This comes from Fully Vax. Let's Have Snacks, who asks, what's the one movie you wish you could go back and resend with a longer format? So kind of the transition from CinemaSins doing kind of shorter into longer.
So it's a weird question for us because we've only really sinned using
I mean, there might
format.
Be some, like, if I thought about it, there might be some I'd like to see. I mean, we did Avengers for patrons, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chris asks, probably Inception, because we needed a longer video to explain our positions. We'd find more sins since we opened up the qualifications for a sin a lot since that video. And also, I'd change some sins and do it differently.
I think for me personally, I'd love to see I'd love to send Twilight. I think Twilight, you could, because that was one of their first ones. That's like 3 or 4 minutes. Mm-hmm. I think you could easily do like a 20-minute Twilight video. That wouldn't be hard at all.
And then we went to Discord for our final one today, which was my question was, hey, guys, did you want to ask anything last second? This one comes from Jacob the Hodge. Said, would you rather fight 2 Danae-sized Aarons or 1 Aaron-sized Danae?
I don't want to fight.
Another fighting question. Or a Jonathan-sized Aaron and Danae, Pervy Uncle adds. Pervy Uncle Pez adds. And then Jacob adds, stacked on a trench coat and on top of each other. They just kept going. They kept making it more and more interesting. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to fight me. That's the answer.
No, I do not want to fight Danae.
No, I
would
like,
definitely,
that
I would tackle all 6 feet of Aaron or whatever.
Yeah, that is the easiest question ever. Like, you take the strength and aggression of Danae Hughes and put it in my size body, it's over. Like, why would, I don't care how many of
it's
the
funny.
Smaller
That's like
versions
my
are.
Mom. My mom is 5 feet tall. You would not want to fuck with that woman, though. I mean, I can't even imagine what
Just
she
Just to put
would
it
do.
Into perspective, so not only did I study martial arts, but after the movie Fight Club came out and I watched it, I started a Fight Club ring amongst my friends, and we got into actual scraps just to practice like street fighting together. So I haven't been in a situation where someone's been like, come at me, and I've had to fight someone, but I have fought people before, so I know how to like at least expect the adrenaline rush, and I know to tie my hair up, and I know to
she like, practices by pouring like lye over her skin
and then
God,
and, like,
I hope not.
As I woke up the other day, I was leaving a really intense dream, and I was replaying in my mind how if I were to ever have to get into a fight for my life, like an actual like to the death fight, what a way to end our podcast today. How I need to just not overthink jabbing my thumbs into both eye sockets at once. And I spent about 5 minutes just being like, no, you could do it, Danae. If you had to do it, you just grab the side of their head, stick your thumbs in there, get some good DNA under your skin, under your fingernails, like then you could run. I go through that stuff in my mind. And I don't know if it's because I'm a woman and I expect that at some point in time, I don't know if that's part of like what it is, or if it's because I went through martial arts training for self-defense, or because I'll see things in movies or TV shows or podcasts about kidnappings and just all this kind of stuff. And I put myself into that situation in my mind, and I'm like, how do I get out? So, yeah, you don't want to fight me. I've thought about these things a lot.
And just
when I walk into a room, I look for weapons. I look for things I can use to defend myself. And right now there's a really cool multi-starred thing on the table that I know for sure I could use as a weapon.
I think that's an interesting thing. We're into this on a really like dark note. But no, that's just interesting talking to, just hearing things a lot more from women as I've gotten older. And I mean, just the idea of how you carry your keys, when you're in a certain place and stuff like that. It's just like,
I look for shadows when I go to the car, to see if there's somebody like a shadow that's out of place.
That's just terrible.
I check the back seat.
It's unreal.
So the answer to that question is very obvious.
I just want to say, just don't try to bite off a finger, because people can, are still commenting on that video that
about the carrot.
You can bite off a finger as easily as a carrot.
It's not
just
true.
Look it up, guys. Just
you can't,
look it up.
You can't.
I still don't. That's one I'm never going to understand.
It's still happening.
You'll
I'm
see.
Never
gonna,
like, we've
I'm
seen
never
so
see.
Many comments from people.
You
actually,
could.
Did you know you could bite off a finger as easily as you could bite through a
no,
carrot?
No, you can't.
You can't.
You
look
can't.
It up.
You can't do it. Try it on your own finger. I dare you.
No, because the urban legend is you can't, because your brain stops you. That's the urban legend is
I
you
see.
Can't actually bite off because your brain has this.
So then
switch.
Go get a chicken. Go get like a little chicken wing or something, that has a bone in there, and just chomp into it. See how easy it is. You have to actually like gnaw on it and then like
you know, like a dog, just that shake one
just
it.
That just of all the sins that I would have thought we would have had to put like a disclaimer on. That was not one.
That
of
was
them.
Not one of them. But, no. Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this special episode of Behind the Sins. We love you guys so much, and we'll catch you next episode. You can find more information about Behind the Sins at our website, cinemasins.com/BTS, and also on Twitters. We're at CinemasinsBTS. Bye.
Happy whatever day this comes out.
That's good. Just cover all the bases.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to bts@cinemasins.com. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and comment. Find more ways to connect by visiting cinemasins.com/BTS.
So they're just, but it's like a Home Depot kind of place?
Yes. Yeah, it's like one of the biggest ones.
I believe it's pronounced Home Depot. Danae.
What?
What would D&D Sins look like as a YouTube channel?
Oh, God. No. No.
That's what it would look like? It would look like
well,
no?
You know how like we've talked about sinning things like Survivor, like reality
right.
TV?
Right.
It's really similar to that because you would be... You
but
would,
I loved that. I had so much fun with that.
But you would be sinning how people play a game.
Right.
And that's kind of like... I mean, what a bummer would that be? Yeah.